This is John Cackley with Centric Biz and Tech Talks. Today I'm talking with Centric's own Jen Barnes and Maurice Faison about Centric Together. What is Centric Together? Well, it's probably better that I let Maurice and Jen explain that. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining me today. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
Very well. Very well.
Great. So maybe just by way of introduction, maybe you tell a little about yourselves and how you got connected with Centric Together. So Jen, maybe you could lead off.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Jen Barnes. I've been with Centric for about 8 years. I was actually brought on board around that time to start to help start the St. Louis business unit of Centric Consulting. How I got involved with Centric Together, it's a funny story. There was a group of us, Maurice included, and it was a small group of us. It was early June in 2020. All of a sudden, one day, very quickly, we kind of saw the world around us kind of felt like crumbling to an extent with the events surrounding the murder of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and others. And we felt like we felt compelled to come out and make some kind of statement. And as you know, if you've been with Centric for a while, you know that we don't really make statements about
right.
tough things like that. But the more time went on, the more we personally felt compelled, like we had to do something. And the more we started getting questions from others saying, all right, this is the moment, right? Where silence means something. And
right.
we want to be on the right side of history with this. And it's no longer okay to just kind of sit back and not say anything. So we came up with a statement. And within about a week, that statement all of a sudden had legs and became this thing now that is Centric Together, which is really a movement of our culture and where we sort of see our culture going over the course of the next 20 to 50 to 80 years.
Okay, great. Maurice, how about yourself?
So Maurice Faison, I've been with Centric a little over 20 years. And, you know, like Jen said, it was our country. So we're in the United mm-hmm. States. This is 2020. Our country was literally on fire around us. And you know, you couldn't turn the TV on and not see a major U.S. city on fire, to not see people in the streets less angry, more frustrated. We're under a pandemic at the time of this recording. We're still under that pandemic. And so it was just this in your face, you know, moment. The time came for not just individuals, but for companies to state your claim. Where are you on this? Are you seeing this? Are you okay with this? What are you going to do about this? And oh, by the way, there are people inside of your company who are experiencing all of this in a myriad of different ways.
Right.
And so when Centric Together came about, we were answering that question. It was, yeah, we do see this as a company. And we're not okay with this. And we want to do something. We don't know what to do, but
right.
we want to do something. And to our employees who are experiencing this either as just another story on the news or who cannot get away from it, we get it. We get it. We want to lean in and let you know as a company, we get it. And like Jen said, you know, historically we haven't really made a statement on topical issues like this, but this one cut a little deeper than your typical topical, you know, story. Like this
sure.
was a where were you moment. You know, we
right,
go to the future.
Right.
Where were Centric in 2020 when this was going down 20 years from now? And if we do it right, we'll be around to answer that question. If we do it wrong, then it's a moot point. We won't be here.
Right. So. Right. So. In your words, what is Centric Together?
So, I mean, it's a movement, right? It started out as a movement. It's now an initiative. It's an imperative. It's, you know, it's the wrapper around our culture is, you know, if I had to succinctly put it. Jen, thoughts?
Yeah, I would say, you know, we often get asked that question. So how did you go from making a statement and seeing the world on fire to where you are today, which is this is literally the number one imperative going into 2021 for our entire company. And what does that mean that it's an imperative? And I would say a really interesting thing happened. So while we were putting together kind of our response and we were thinking and getting introspective about racism and the role of racism and our surroundings at Centric, it started us thinking a little bit more broadly, even than racism. We started thinking about the entire Centric experience, and people started talking and really listening to one another in a variety of ways. The more people were talking and listening, I think the more there was this realization that we were a great company, right? We have an unbelievable culture, but are we necessarily doing enough? Mm-hmm. And just because the culture is great for Maurice, who's been here for 20 years plus, or great for me, I've been here for 8, you know, how is it for a brand new person, right? Mm-hmm. Or how is it for a person who doesn't necessarily look or act or think the way a lot of the other people at Centric look or act or think? And then at the same time, we looked around and we said, we're homogenous. I mean, we are all very much kind of look the same, have come from very similar backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And that started kind of questioning our sustainability as an organization, our long-term relevance as an organization. When you ask kind of what Centric Together is, it's hard to put parameters around. But it's pretty big.
So it's sounding like a journey rather than a program or a set of tasks, right?
Great word. Absolutely. Yep.
So what makes you excited about it?
So
I'm super excited.
Yeah, I'm excited because it's December and Centric Together is still top of mind for most people in the company. So that's exciting for one. The sheer number of people who you know, shortly after that initial statement said, hey, I don't know what you guys are doing, but I want to be a part of it. And so the excitement, the number, the fact that it spans, you know, almost every operating group, you know, inside of Centric, every level inside of Centric, you know, there are people who want to be a part of this, which says to us that there was a longing for this long before we put the word Centric together. And so there are people who didn't feel like they were seen or feel like they were heard, that all of a sudden they're like, here is something that I'm passionate about and I could do it at work. And this is awesome. And so that passion is exciting because, like you said, this is a journey. Centric Together won't be complete Q1 of next year or Q3 5 years from now. This is the long game, and it's going to require that level of energy and that passion, because some days it's going to be tough. Some days we're going to hit a brick wall and say, you know what, good enough, right? We did what we could, and we need to be able to push through that. I mean, we talk about sustainability. This is the long game, and so I'm excited just the sheer number of people and the passion that's around it, and the fact that it is an imperative in the company. It's not a pet project that was like, yeah, I'll tell you what, Jen Maurice, go off, we'll do a pilot to see what Centric Together looks like, and then we'll reevaluate. No, this is critical to our sustainability and existence. So that's exciting.
All right. Jen, how about you? What excites you about it?
What excites me about it is, I think, two things. One, and Maurice kind of implied this, has tremendous support from the leadership of our organization. We were not the ones to say, hey, you know, leaders of Centric, how about you make this an imperative? They came to us and said, by the way, this is our imperative this year. Or one of our imperatives this year. Another thing that I am excited about, and it stems from that leadership, is that nothing really seems to be off the table. And so this isn't a put a box around it, do something in this, you know, tiny area. This is, it feels like it's permeating almost every aspect of working for Centric. So it is around recruiting. It's around our employee experience. For everyone. It is around community outreach. We're naturally an organization that loves philanthropy and charity and working with others. And so we're building this in to kind of the way that we work. It's about communication. It's about kind of showing the world what not only what we are, but really what we aspire to be, and bringing them on a journey along with us. It's been described by others as kind of the fabric of our culture going forward.
Right. What I'm getting a sense of hearing you guys talk is It isn't necessarily a set of tasks. There isn't necessarily a particular objective in mind yet. Not that, you know, not that that's good or bad, right? But what it really is elevating it to say, you know, inclusion is something we're going to talk about in the company. It's okay to talk about it. We want to talk about it. And just to me, this sounds, frankly, very different than a lot of traditional diversity programs in companies, you know, which are often very much driven on hiring quotas or, you know, different metrics, but don't necessarily, in my view, you know, my somewhat cynical view here, you know, don't really move the needle of a company's culture. So how does it sound? Does that sound about right? Is that the way you'd see it too? Or do you have an amendment to that?
Yeah, like, for example, I wouldn't consider Centric Together a program, right? Okay. I consider it a part of almost every aspect of what we do, every aspect of how we do business, from how we show up to recruits, mm-hmm. to how we retain and develop individuals, to how our leaders are developed, to how we market, to how we learn. So, you know, in our technology group, there's all of this training and we're talking about exams and certifications, but we're not talking about that, not until Centric Together, around how do we build that empathetic muscle? How do we train around mm-hmm. bias? How do we become better people, better employees, better managers? And we're starting to talk about that. And ultimately, it's going to make, you know, everyone better. Some more than others. You know, it's a journey. People are in different parts of their journey. But yeah, so I don't see it as a program. So is there a Centric Together scorecard full of KPIs and dashboards? Mm-hmm. No, there's not. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you measure your culture? It's going to be, you know, talking to people. Right. It's going to be word of mouth. It's going to be, you know, what do people inside of Centric think about when they think about their company? Is this mm-hmm. just a job, right? I got 40 hours I got to put in. Might as well put them in with you guys. Or is it, no, I'm freaking love that firm. And, you know, mm-hmm. work doesn't always feel like work to me. I love the people. Even if the work's not fun, the people are fun. Or I enjoy being right. around, you know, Centric people and Centric events. That's going to be the true measure of Centric Together. And there's different ways that we can gleam on how we're doing. But yeah, it's definitely not, all right, we need to hire 5 women, 5 blacks, some LGBT, and we want to do that by March. And if we can do that, then Centric Together was a success. I don't think anyone would subscribe to that.
But I do think, I agree with that. I do think, though, that we do want to look different over time. And we know it's not going to be easy, right? We definitely want to be more reflective of the world in which we live. People like to talk a lot about diversity of thought and that sort of thing. I mean, that's good.
Those are safe, right?
Let's talk about diversity of thought for a bit. Mm-hmm. I think diversity of thought is baloney. I think it's a cop out. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that's what I mean by safe. Let me say this. Right, diversity of thought, it is important, right? If you're trying to solve a problem and everyone's thinking the same way, you're going to hit the same brick wall. So you want diversity of thought. But if you're talking about the big D diversity, then yeah, diversity of thoughts is somewhat of a cop out, because, you know, it's safe. It's easy to go find diversity of thought, right? It's not, there's no, it's not uncomfortable. It's not challenging. But if you could do that and check the box, then you feel better. And what we're saying is we want to be better, right? Not just feel better.
Right. And honestly, I think diversity of thought, it's good in concept, but I don't know that it is truly achievable without actual diversity, because you're still going to be coming at things largely from the similar perspective. The only thing I think I would maybe amend a little bit to your statement going back a couple of minutes, I do think we have objectives. Now, how measurable are they at this point? I think that's, you know, a little bit subjective. Right. If you think about UMCX, Unmatched mm-hmm. Client Experiences, UMCX is something that started out as a set of activities, right? Mm-hmm. Might be, I'm going to take bagels into my client. What started out as a set of activities kind of became a feeling, and people enjoyed it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this feels good, and there's a good reward kind of on both sides. And eventually it became a named thing, UMCX. And then eventually it was codified, right? I think we know, and certainly people who are going through new higher orientation, you know, there are three things that make up UMCX, right? Rock solid delivery and being human and showing gratitude. I think we're trying to do the same thing almost with Centric Together in terms of taking this feeling of empathy and of inclusivity. And we are trying to, I think, codify it a bit. And by putting a name to it, it allows us to more easily recognize it. It allows us to more easily measure it. And it becomes almost a real sort of living, breathing thing, as opposed to just saying, oh, our culture is great. And yeah, of course we're inclusive, right? This is a great place to work.
So you talked about a number of different areas, you know, people jumping in, wanting to do anything that they can to help. Can you tell me what some of those are?
Yeah. So we had seven or eight different sub teams. And, you know, the original charter is that, you know, each one of those work streams, you know, just apply this Centric Together lens to it. Right. And in some cases we're doing great. In other cases, we have some work to do. Two in particular that we're, you know, have spun up to move them forward are around recruiting, which is a little bit of a misnomer because it encompasses a lot more than recruiting, right, and community outreach or community engagement. So those are activities that will be tangible. You'll be able to see those. And, you know, we're going to have, I don't want to say a staff, but we'll have a project team, a project team around, you know, focused on those two initiatives. It's not that the other sub teams, you know, won't continue, but these two in particular are going to be the ones we're saying, you know, let's really get focused around these two, and let's really get some measurable some milestones in place, and let's plan, and then let's act, and let's measure, and then let's repeat, you know, until we get to where we want to be, or at least make steps towards, you know, where we want to be.
So I mentioned earlier that this whole Centric Together movement has made us start talking to one another and listening to one another a lot more. And to be honest, there is some nervousness. And I think there is still some nervousness around, what if I say the wrong thing, right? Mm-hmm. Not everyone at Centric is, you know, certainly completely aligned on, a wide variety of topics. And so what if I say something, I'm trying to do the right thing, but I say the wrong thing? We see the repercussions of that all the time, right? People getting fired in other companies and making reviews and that sort of thing. And we don't want that to be a limiting factor in our evolution. And so we're introducing through our leadership development area or our leadership awareness and growth team, we're introducing this concept of a social covenant. That is intended to bring people together to kind of lay the ground rules and for any conversation about anything. But it's particularly useful, I think, when conversations can be a little bit tough. And so it's really saying we agree to come at this from a very empathetic standpoint. We know we're not going to say the right thing, but we need to, or we're not always going to say the right thing. We might mess up because we're human, but we are coming in to any conversation, assuming goodwill on the part of everyone else, in order to have really vulnerable conversations, you have to be willing to take some risks. And so it's kind of a shared willingness to take on that risk and to be vulnerable. And we see nothing but really good things coming from that, even beyond, you know, the Centric Together. We just think, you know, in terms of being human and having good, solid relationships, we see that as a real builder to those things.
Right. Yeah, on the vulnerability, I want to throw out an example. I joined a new client a couple months ago, and first day I'm talking to my client, and he leads off by talking about his kids who both have Tourette syndrome, one or two other challenges. I don't know exactly all that, but he started describing and saying, look, you know, I may not always be on time for meetings, right? These are things that I have to take care of. And so he was being vulnerable there to begin with. And I said, well, okay, I'm going to, you know, meet you in the middle here. And I talked about my teenager who is non-binary. I mean, not that there's any equivalence, but it's just showing, hey, we're human beings, you know, among our families, our kids, our coworkers, we've got different things that we will be dealing with as a journey, and hopefully we'll come together with those things and be supportive, you know, in any situation. And I think that really, you know, helped us click a lot, just, you know, this client and myself, you know, as a starting point.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so, yes. Yeah. That's a great example. And would that have happened, say, pre-COVID, before we were all, you know, kind of at home? And so you're in my home as we're talking.
Right.
And so there's this subliminal, you know, comfort that might
intimacy,
be there.
Right?
Yeah, there's sure. an automatic intimacy. And so with Centric Together, what we want to do is we want to make intentional space for that. And so we did it right when we launched Centric Together. Every operating group had, you know, a town hall to kind of, you know, talk some things out. How are you feeling? How are you processing? You know, some were ready to talk. Some were not ready to talk. We did it again at our summer meeting. We had these breakout sessions, right. And, you know, I don't know, there were a lot of people on these calls who some just wanted to be in the room, you know, where these things were talking, and others wanted to share. Others had no intentions of sharing until they heard someone else's story. And they thought, you know, kind of like, well, all right, well, if you're going to, you know, if you're going to trust, you know, this group with that story, then, you know, let me throw myself out there and tell you a little bit about me. So what we're seeing is this line between the work you and the at-home you, or the professional you and the private you, it's blurring. And for some, it's gone. It is absolutely gone. People live where they work where they live. Kids are schooling where they live. And so it's all it's all blurred. And the more we know about each other, and I know your circumstances, I can celebrate your victories, your successes. I can support you when things are not great, because I know, I know what's going on, and vice versa. And so it helps build that empathy muscle.
Right? Absolutely.
And so that's the muscle behind unmatched experiences. I mean, if you don't really know someone, good luck with UMEX or CX.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I know something about you and I know you're having a tough time, or I know things are going great for you, then it's a little easier for me to be able to just pop in and, you know, the word of encouragement here, or some support there, or the celebrate, you know, X, Y, and Z. It becomes more than just your coworkers at that point. And, you know, the conversations are different. The tones are different, right? How I approach a conversation is completely different. That unlocks problem solving. And I think it's kind of where we're getting to with the whole, you know, diversity of thought. Well, I'm freed up, right? Half of my capacity isn't spent filtering my words so they come out right, or I say the right things. I'm just talking, and now we're just talking, and that's a benefit. And I think the fact that we made space, or we continue to make space for these conversations, that's UMEX unmatched employee experience. You know, right there, right? We've gotten feedback that says, hey, when is the next forum? Like, when are we getting back together to have it? Are they going to be every month? What are the topics? How do I submit a topic? How do I become a facilitator?
Right.
So just with the blanket of the social covenant, right? Mm-hmm. So come, you know, be as vulnerable or not as you want. But just know these are the parameters around these conversations. It's only going to strengthen that fabric that Jim was talking about. Of our culture. It's hard to describe the culture, but this helps. It definitely helps.
I think it's going to have a great impact on our client relationships as well. You know, I feel like it's sort of centric starting to reflect the world that we're in. So I take your situation, John, with your client. I can't imagine if you go back 5 years, even 3 years, I don't think that type of conversation would have happened. Right. And so, but I think the world is, I shouldn't say the world, but you know what I mean? Maybe a bit of the world. Sure. And I know certainly our kids, right? They're growing up so much more open and empathetic than I know we did, right? Mm-hmm. When we were, since we're roughly all the same age, right? It's making space. I love that kind of terminology. We're making space for that same level of, I don't want to keep using the word empathy, but, you know, deep relationship building, understanding, empathy, just caring. we're making the space in our company for that. That, I mean, we're trying to live the way I think we would want our kids, or we do want our kids to live and behave and interact with others. And I don't know that there's a lot of, I don't know if there's a lot of companies out there kind of actively doing that, but yeah. I think the reality is that doesn't happen on its own. Right. That's got to be a really intentional thing.
Yeah. Everything you've described to me, I mean, first of all, it seems very much organically grown out of Centric, right? We haven't just taken some model and tried to slap it in. I mean, this is a very natural evolution of Centric's core values to begin with, I think. I mean, vulnerability and humility, I think, have always been right in the core of it to begin with. But, you know, are there other companies or other models that you're aware of that you admire that maybe have brought some thinking in?
Well, since my day job, I'm tethered to Microsoft, you know, for my paycheck. And so I've been watching, you know, what they've been doing in this space actually for a couple of years now, because they were leaning into this whole, you know, ever since they had their leadership change, you know, there was a different, you know, you can read all kind of articles on how they've kind of turned the corner. And it's been about, you know, the world and employee and empathy. So have been watching them, have actually participated in some roundtables and some panels with Microsoft around the whole concept of diversity and inclusion, belonging, you know, allyship, empathetic leadership. It was great because the very last one I was on, I was able to talk about Centric Together. And so when the question came up with, you know, given all this social unrest, what is your company doing? What's been your response? It was great for me to not have to say, well, typically we don't weigh right. in on this. No, it was, right. you know, I was able to tell the Centric Together story. That was like, you know, we were horrified like everyone else. And I think there was some bated breath across the company on, ooh, is Centric going to, what is Centric going to say? Like what? And then, you know, you didn't have to hold your breath that long because boom, it was made known that, yep, this is something we're going to weigh in. You know, to be able to look at them as a reference, now we clearly don't have the same resources that they do for some of the programming, but they've kind of laid a little bit of a blueprint, you know, not just for us, but for a lot of companies, you know, if it relates to employee resource groups. They've published the last 2 years, D&I annual report. And so just reading through that, you know, gives us some insights on, you know, metrics, for example. What are they measuring? Not necessarily to say there's a goal, but where are you? What are our employee demographics today? Before we slap a goal out there, we don't know, you know, we have an idea how we look, but we don't know. And so, you know, looking at some of the metrics that they're tracking gives us some insights into what we might want to take a look at, right? We might not have the same, you know, hiring goals or promotional goals, but we should be looking at some of the same things that they're looking at. I definitely stay plugged in, not to just the technology side, but, you know, what they're doing with their employee base.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you mentioned earlier, they're not necessarily metrics. You know, a lot of these things aren't specific enough, at least not yet, to put hard metrics to. But what would failure look like to you? Put it a couple years out and you'd go, this didn't work. We didn't do it right. You know, what would that look like?
So a failure to me is that if in a year's time, 2-3 years time, if we were to look at our leadership page and it looks the same as it does today, and we look at our overall kind of employee mix and it looks largely the same as it does today, I think that's failure in one regard. In another regard, I think if we have lost our passion for talking about things that matter, if we've lost our focus on our desire to have every single employee feel like they can show up at work being themselves and not having to put on any other face or personality, if we've lost our passion for people just bringing everything they have to work, then I would say that we failed.
Yeah. If apathy sets in, that would be failure. That would be disappointing.
All right. So let me turn it around so we can end on a really upbeat note.
That was a bummer of a question, by the way.
I know. I know. You know, I, I'm I'm thinking about it here. So let's say we knock it out of the park. Our wildest dreams all come true. This is hugely successful. What does that look like?
If we do it right and we're successful, then there are going to be people wanting to hear what it is we're doing, right? Mm-hmm. What's the Centric story? How are you reacting to X, Y, and Z? What happens in 2022? How did you guys react to that? And we could say, well, we had this structure in place. It started out, it was called Centric Together, but it was more than just people. It put processes in place that makes us sustainable, allows us to adapt, allows us to find that person who isn't having an unmatched experience and gives us an avenue to do something about it. Not just say, hey, we have three different experiences. One of these would be unmatched for you, but you know, we do it right. Then we have right. this system that is checking for all of this. Like we have a delivery excellence program. Maybe we have a cultural excellence program. So we are catching all of this stuff and we're able to help clients catch this. You know, this could be an offering. Who knows? You know, if you want a pie in the sky, that would be what success looks like.
This has been Centric Biz and Tech Talks. Thanks to Jen Barnes and Maurice Faison for joining me, and thank you for listening.